Thanks for listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For 12 years, I've been a professional intuitive and personal development blogger. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Monday, July 23rd, 2018. As I record this introduction, it is my birthday. The last one of my 40s, which will be significant this year in future episodes. I'm going to do an ongoing challenge before my 50th birthday called 50 New Things Before 50, and it starts right away. In just a few weeks, I will have a special guest, the woman who inspired the challenge, who's going to come on and tell us about it and give me some ideas about how to execute it. But first, this week, I have an interview with Dr. Melissa Bird. We are talking about intuition, social justice, and politics. Dr. Bird trains people to tap into their passion to make a difference in their communities as activists and social justice leaders. So if you're trying to integrate politics and activism in a spiritual context, you will find this conversation extremely inspiring and timely. That's coming up in just a few minutes. As always, there's an Oracle segment at the end of the show, so be thinking about a question or a concern you have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. Again, I'm on a roll here talking to people who simply have a lot of interesting stuff to say, so I'm going to keep the personal news short and let you enjoy listening to the interview. Before I forget, I do want to say a quick thank you to Dr. Julia Spinolo, who raised her Patreon pledge to $10. One of the new levels for those of you who wrote and generously demanded to pledge more than $3 a month. So thank you to everyone who values this work. I appreciate all of you who've pledged your support. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and want it to continue. That's very encouraging to me, so thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, exclusive bonus episodes, and there's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing the show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. So, the interview. You may remember I shared a story in a few previous introductions about a woman who found her father's ring and reconnected with her family after hearing the episode about my magic owl ring. And that correspondence led to an online friendship, and now she's a guest this week. It turns out this interesting person is Dr. Melissa Bird, a passionate feminist whose education in social work has led to a career advocating for children, women, and their families. She's a fierce believer in social justice advocacy and preparing women for leadership roles in politics. For women who want to be heard, women who want their families to be respected, women who believe they can make a difference in their communities and create lasting change, Dr. Bird is creating the genesis for a new brand of leadership she calls the Graceful Revolution.
Well, I used to say that I was like a political badass. I'm more of like a hellraiser and a trailblazer. And I help people tap into their passion to engage in advocacy in their communities. And so for years, I was teaching at a college level, and I worked as a lobbyist for Planned Parenthood in Utah. And I was like really involved in politics in Utah. And so I've kind of taken all of those years of working on the ground and in the Capitol, both at the state level and at the national level, and I've decided that it's time to build the Bird Girl Army and really bring people to the place where they are super tapped into their passion and their jam and what lights them on fire, so that they can go out and do the thing that lights them up. And I that's become so apparently critical to me right now in 2018, because we are getting inundated constantly with shit and it's coming down on us all the time. And so every morning you wake up and you have 500 things on your phone talking about how the nation is exploding and people are freaking out and they don't know what to do. And so what I do is I give them the tools to go out and do the thing so they can get past the paralysis and into intentional action, because it's going to take intentional action at a community level, not at a national level, at a community level to build this back up so that we can feel like we're not stuck not making a difference in our communities. And so I've taken all these years of being a lobbyist and like on the front lines and making changes in policy and politics and taking it to this really passionate, lit up, on fire. I had someone say that I was an igniter and I just light everyone on fire, which could be really dangerous. And that's a huge responsibility, and really taking it to the next level so that people can have the tools to engage in action in their communities and engage in dialogue with people who are holding elected office at a local level. So at a city, county, and state level, because I tell this to my students all the time when I'm teaching in the classroom, but basically like the federal government is awash at this point. Like, you're not going to make a huge gigantic difference at a federal level. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's how we are, that's where we're at. But now we have this huge opportunity to directly impact our local leaders, no matter what their party affiliation is. We have stories to tell, and there are ways that these policies directly impact our lives, and it is our time to be telling those stories to people. No, there's no bigger time to be doing that. And so I teach people how to have their tools to like scream their passionate dreams from the mountaintops and go out and do that thing.
Wow. You know what? Let's get into like a big topic here. I'm going to ask you a big old loaded controversial question. I believe in synchronicity and timing, and there is definitely a big, beautiful divine timing for me personally with you being here in this moment talking to me today. It's very significant because we've been talking about spirituality and politics in the Automatic Intuition community, the group of people that I mentor privately. We've been talking about it this week for the first time, very civilly, I must say. So I'm very proud, but I think one of the reasons why we haven't touched it in so long is because it's such a, you know, hot potato kind of situation. But somebody went there in a really good way, in a kind of adjacent issue. And so there is a big dissension among spiritual practitioners, right? Some of us believe that it's really important to disconnect from the news in order to preserve your psychic hygiene and to protect your energy and your vibration, and that you just need to tune it all out. And then some of us believe that part of being conscious for us is being plugged in and observant of all that stuff and aware of the bad and the good. So what are your thoughts about being spiritually conscious and politically conscious?
So the first thing I want to say is I have been wanting to email you for like months and months about coming on the show to talk about this. And it was only in the last couple of weeks that I was like, you have to do this right now. So I was like, what? I was nervous. I was like, what am I going to say to Slade? Like, what if he thinks I'm just this wackadoodle noodle who's like, we got to talk about how to use your intuition to engage in politics. And I was like, that's exactly what you're going to say. And you're going to type it out. And it's going to be fine. And he's not going to reject you and everything's going to be magic. And so,
Which it was.
And so the fact that you just barely had this conversation while I was like, I really need to talk to Slade was really, I divine intervention and all the magic. So I have to say that because I'm really excited to be having this conversation about using your intuition to engage in social justice work and politics. And I call it social justice work because no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, it doesn't matter where you're at, because everything that is happening has to do with how our society is going to thrive or just survive moving forward because of all of the policies that are being enacted at a federal level that are going to trickle down to the local level. And I can honestly say that I feel that need to be completely disconnected from the toxicity of the media. And I also feel the need to be completely inundated with what's happening currently in our nation and in our world. The way that I have sort of pulled that apart and teased that apart is that I choose, and I'm really active on social media. I love Twitter. I love Facebook. I love Instagram. I love being online and connecting with other people in that way. But I have figured out how to use my intuition to lead me to places where I am going to be connecting with people who aren't just like me, but who appreciate my differences of opinion. Mm. And this is, I think, where people are getting stuck. And later on today, for example, I do Facebook Lives on Mondays and Fridays. I have Monday Mayhem and Fuck Shit Up Friday. And at noon, my time, Pacific time. And I have been having conversations with my darling friend, Amy Wolf, who I consider a dear friend, who's completely the polar opposite of me politically. She's a conservative Christian Methodist in a really small conservative town in Oregon. But she and I have connected on this level that is just unbelievable. And we have people from my friends and her friends and people in the community who keep sending us messages thanking us for having honest conversations about politics, about feminism, about abortion, about really tough conversations about justice and social justice and what that means to each of us. And we do it in a way that is so respectful that you can't not get something out of that. And so, you know, and I come from a conservative place. I was born and raised in Utah. And what I learned when I was walking the hills of that Capitol is elected officials just put their pants on one leg at a time. We're all people. We all get up in the morning and think, how am I going to make a difference in my world today? What do I want to do to really make a difference in my world today? And it may be that the difference is, my God, I'm going to vacuum my house. And that's like an accomplishment. And it may be that you're going to write a bill and pass it into law like I did. It's been 15 years since I wrote that bill. I'll talk about that in a second. But this idea that we have to be divisive about politics is a new idea. That is something that was created out of, I would say, the 1980s during the Reagan administration. Mm. That was when the divisiveness of politics came along. Were there separations of parties? Totally. Were the Democrats and Republicans fighting against each other for power? Absolutely. For years and years and years. But there was a discourse and a nuance to politics that has been lost, I would say, really starting in the 80s, and it got worse during the Clinton administration, and now it's just all gone to shit. Mm. And I believe that we have so much power to make a difference. And I know it because I've done it. And I'm not saying, I don't do any of my work because I'm like up on some, you know, high horse pedestal. I'm probably on a soapbox. Let's just be fucking real here. Like, I love my soapbox. My husband, he even bought me a soapbox that says fairy soap on it from the 1920s.
I love
that. So that I could have I love my fairy soapbox. And so, and it says fairy. So clearly that makes me even happier. And so, but I can get on my soapbox all day. But when I was getting my master's degree in social work in 2003, I did the very first research in Utah about homeless LGBTQ youth. And so nobody had been, I mean, and this was, you know, 2002, 2003. Nobody was talking about homeless kids. Nobody was talking about homeless queer kids. And here I am in Utah trying to figure out how many of our youth identify as LGBTQ. And I did this research for my master's research class. And Utah was no different. So at the time, like 35% of homeless youth identified as LGBTQ. And I was like, we have to do something. And our shelter law was so bad, it said that you couldn't shelter a youth for longer than 8 hours without parental consent or emancipation. And I knew that our kids, we didn't have an emancipation law because I'd worked in child welfare. And so I knew we didn't have an emancipation law. And I was like, oh my God, I've got to do so. I've got to write one. And I sat at my dining room table listening to Ani DeFranco and Metallica, because that's how I roll. And I took the 26 laws from 26 other states and wrote them out line by line and hashed out a law. I picked the lines that I thought would work in Utah, because Utah is a more conservative state. And I knew that the parents' rights folks were going to lose their minds about it. And so I wrote this law. And I threw everything in it, and I called a woman who was an elected official, and I said, "Hey, Roz, I think I just wrote a bill, and I'm wondering if you'd sponsor it." And she said, "What it's about? What's it about?" I said, "Homeless youth." And she was like, "Great." And I emailed it to her, and she called me back like 5 minutes later, and she goes, "Missy Bird, you just wrote a law. People don't do that." And I was like, "Oh, they don't?" She's like, "No, they come to you with an idea. We take it to Ledge Research, and then they like figure it all out." I was like, "Oh, I wrote a law. It's the only thing Slade I've ever given birth to, for reals." That bill is my baby. And I learned how to lobby. I taught myself how to lobby. I taught myself how to advocate. And I got it passed into law 2 years later. And that bill has helped hundreds of homeless youth get emancipated. I learned how to stay away from talking about LGBTQ kids with certain people, but I knew that that was a part of the story for other people who were in power. I learned how to talk about polygamous kids that were being kicked out of their homes as a way to sort of leverage this conversation up to a different space. And I just listened to my gut the whole entire time. So every single thing I do when I'm talking, whether it's a person in the community or an elected official, is I use my gut instinct to have conversations about what's happening in our communities. And I have followed my intuition throughout my entire career as an advocate. And so I think as you're having this broader political conversation in your group, it's not just about politics the way we see it on Fox News and MSNBC. It's about how do the things that are happening in our neighborhoods and in our cities and in our counties and in our states directly impact what's happening, our ability to access safe and clean water, our ability to access safe and clean food, our ability to stay in the homes that we're building for ourselves and for the people around us and our families and our friends. That's what policy is. That's what politics is. Politics isn't this bullshit Mitch McConnell flipping Paul Ryan ridiculousness, you know, Dianne Feinstein and all this national distraction. The national distraction keeps us from looking in our own backyards and seeing what we can do to help the little old lady who lives next door who might be having a hard time getting her newspaper every damn day. That's politics. That's politics.
Yeah. What do you say to that person? Because you must meet these people, right? Who say, "I'm really spiritual and I just don't want to engage with politics. It's just all too negative." What do you say to that person? Because we have to believe, first of all, let's be compassionate. We understand why they're wanting to tune out and protect themselves. I mean, it's a given. I get it. But there has to be something deep within them that responds to what you just said, that has some feeling of like, "Oh my God, I've got to do something." But then they also feel overwhelmed and helpless. So when you are confronted with that, "I can't do politics because I'm too spiritual," what do you say to light that person up?
I ask them what matters to them. I say, "You know what? I get it. Like, you don't want to, I don't like politics as usual either. I get it. Like, I know that your conviction says that you just want to stay the hell out of us because it's just too much. But what is one thing you can do that you feel like you can do from your spiritual center to make an impact potentially? Like, are you willing to tell your story to one of your local elected officials? Are you willing to help support a candidate at a local level who resonates with you either by donating money or your time? Is there something you can do to raise the vibration of the people we actually have serving in office that you would be comfortable with?" I understand you think your vote doesn't matter, but I'm going to tell you right now, at a local level, your vote matters so. I mean, I get that federal politics has completely shut down a lot of people from wanting to be able to engage in this process of voting. But we are the only democratic nation in the world where a majority of the people who live here don't vote.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
insane.
in every other democracy in the world, the majority of people who are of voting age vote. And we don't. And it's and I actually was in a conversation about this in a Twitter group that I'm in. They have some new research that says the millennials are like, I'm not voting. So people are trying to figure out how to get the millennials to vote. And my response was, well, their parents don't take them to the polls because their parents don't vote. Like my kids have been going to the polls since they were little wee bits, right? They go
Yeah.
with us every November. It doesn't matter if it's a city election or a state election or a federal election. Every November we vote. And our kids go with us, so our kids just know that on that Tuesday in November, that's what you do. Like they've never not voted with us. And I think that part of the problem is that millennials are like, well, I'm not going to vote because my parents don't vote. Why the hell would I vote? And I feel like from a spiritual space, if voting is your thing that you're like, screw it, I don't care, find some other way to tap into your center and your intuition and what you want in the world and make that the thing. If you don't want to vote, fine. I'm not going to force you to vote. Although I might have a little judgy voice inside of me that's like, for reals, but do something. I don't care what it is, but do something to elevate the vibration of making a change in our communities because this is why we are where we are at in 2018.
It's so funny because I'm going to throw a bumper sticker at you, but you are going to remember it. Think global, act local. Remember that?
I
Yeah. I mean, that's really what you're saying. That's the answer. And you know something I've noticed too is I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about the fact that my daddy took me to vote for every Republican he could. But and I ended up with such a completely different political opinion than him. But I do remember being taken to vote and thinking it was really cool to go behind the curtain, and it used to be all very like the Wizard of Oz, you know, it was like that big machine. And so I thought it was amazing and I thought it was cool. And I can remember in elementary school, we had mock elections. I remember when, you know, it was like the Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford election in second grade or whatever. But you know, we were taught to do that, and we were taught that it was like this sort of holy thing that you did, you know? And
And you just said it, Slade. It is a holy thing. The power of that vote is given to us as a gift. It is a gift, just like our spiritual intuition. It is a gift, just like our ability to breathe air and drink water. It is a goddamn gift to be able to vote in this country. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to vote for the people who represent you in office. It is not some bullshit strong arm tactic that we have been led to believe it is by very conservative and very liberal groups of humans. And I will say this flat out until the day I die, this extremist bullshit that we have going on the right and the left, there are so many of us that are in the middle floundering, going, what the hell do I do next? And that's why I do the work that I do, because especially for women, but I think also for the LGBT community and for other and for minorities and people of color, like there are, and I will say, I will put Republican women in this camp as well. There are a shit ton of us sitting right in the middle going, what the hell do I do? I got nothing. I got nothing. I don't know. The parties are completely out of control. The party platforms on both sides of the aisle are becoming ridiculous, extremist. A line in the sand views, that's not real. And we know this as spiritual practitioners, right? Like, we know that this extremist, hard line, no nuance, black or white, there is nothing else, that's bullshit. That's not how it works. There is not a hard and fast way to do politics. And there is not a hard and fast rule to doing this. Trusting your gut to engage in social action is the way that we can be the leaders and shift this dynamic. That's the way. There's a whole ton of us in the middle. I will say, I cross party vote all the time, especially at a local election level, because I like fiscal conservancy. I've seen what happens when you got a bunch of fiscally liberal people running child welfare. It doesn't work very well. You've got to find moderation in the middle.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, at the local level. My mom was asking me, she said, when you go and vote in local elections, you can't really even tell from the ballots, at least the way it's presented to us locally, who is a Republican or Democrat. It's not
because they're all nonpartisan.
Right.
They're
nonpartisan. It's not spelled out. And you know what? When I vote locally, a lot of the times I'm voting for people that I personally know. I'm voting for a doctor that I know that's running for office. I'm voting for someone that I've met in the cafe that I always talk to. You know what I mean? Like, they're actual real people. And I even noticed when I went to vote this week that, you know, there was this man out there canvassing for someone who, honestly, I would never vote for in a million years. But he engaged me in conversation about something completely random, you know, and we were just kind of standing there having a conversation on the sidewalk, and it wasn't really about politics at all. But the whole time I was thinking, oh, I'm so glad he's standing here because my computer's in my car. And I knew that because I parked next to him, even though politically he was my enemy, I knew that he'd protect my shit when I went inside. Nobody's going to mess with my car with this dude standing here. Like, he's just looking to bust somebody, you know? That whole experience and the conversation about the way that the parties are kind of not identified with at these really, really local elections, I was very much in the space of like, a lot of that shit just falls away when you're dealing with people who actually live down the street from you, when you're dealing with people that you actually look in the face, you know, and have conversations with. It does matter less. And everyone hates, quote unquote, a group of people except for their cousin that is one, except for their hairdresser that is one. Those people they love. And that's why it is so important to kind of really authentically represent who you are in the world and just be like, go out and be friends with everyone and be a nice person and be yourself. Because to me, that is a form of political activism. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And it's not just about voting. Voting is a piece of this democracy, but it's not the entire democracy. It's also about us being really, 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 really invested in getting out of the echo chamber of our politics. So part of what happens is we tend to surround ourselves with like-minded individuals who think exactly like we do. That's the echo chamber. We do it on Facebook. We do it on Twitter. We do it. We get entrenched in these spaces where we are just listening to ourselves talk over and over again because it's reflected in the people that we're surrounded with. The beauty of what you're talking about the dialogue that you're having in that group, is that there you're not in the echo chamber because there's people from all over that have differences of opinion. This is why I will always maintain this relationship with Amy in a respectful, intentional, delicious, glorious, graceful manner, because I love connecting with people who aren't just like me. I love that. And I think to keep ourselves safe, especially now, because of all of the threats that are coming at us, we have even become more entrenched in the echo chamber, and we're afraid to expand our conversation outside the people that think and behave just like us. And I think it is to our detriment, because if I as this queer, you know, at the time I was married to women at the Capitol when I was lobbying for Planned Parenthood. So here I am, this lesbian identified platinum blonde punk rock girl with hair like pink at the Utah State Capitol wearing high heels and fishnets and mini skirts, like, you know, my inner Erin Brockovich, going into the Capitol talking about Planned Parenthood and sex. Like, and I got like 6 laws passed. Now, if I can do that at the Utah State Capitol, don't tell me y'all can't make a difference somewhere else. Because that's where the rubber meets the road, right there. You can go in. And by the way, those state houses, those are our houses. The city halls, the county council, the state capitol, we pay for that with our tax dollars. You wouldn't not walk into the front door of your own home. Don't be afraid to walk into the front door of a house where policy is being made. because you pay for that. That's ours. It's just like paying rent. Those are our houses. We own them. And we have to remind elected officials that those are our places too. They're public. They're not walled off from the public. It's different at the federal level. It's not. This is where I think the beauty of being involved and looking around our neighborhoods and the spaces that we're in every single day, where we go to the grocery store, where we, you know, where our kids go to school, or where the neighbors' kids go to school, where we connect and interact at a very local level, is where we should be getting involved politically.
Well, and we, just to touch on a little bit of like your relationship with your friend who's conservative, we need allies. When you were talking about safety, well, you know, if some jumped up group is coming after your ass, you need somebody on their side of the fence to calm their ass down. You know, you need to be able to call into and talk within that their bubble. Like you need, you need a connection in there. Because that's how... You know, that's where their consciousness, like if you want them to be conscious of who you are, they have to know you. And somebody within there needs to identify with you and connect with you as an individual person. Because when you think about people as human beings, you treat them differently, you know?
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. And, you know, when I left Utah to go get my PhD in California, when I left Utah, they roasted me at an Irish pub in Salt Lake City. And Gail Ruzicka, who was the head of the Eagle Forum, which Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, right? Super conservative group. Gail Ruzicka came to my roast and roasted me and pinned me with an Eagle Forum pin. Because she was like, you know what? I don't agree with you on almost every single thing, but I honor you and I respect you and I'm going to miss debating you on that hill. Awesome. And for a while she would call me and say to me, you know, Missy, I really miss you. I miss having that debate with you because it was always intentional and respectful. And this goes back to me using my intuition to talk to people who have absolutely not one damn thing in common with me. And it was scary. Like, this is the other thing. I think people are just so fucking afraid to say the wrong thing, especially now, because we, you know, if we identify as liberal progressives, if we don't say the exact politically correct thing, we get annihilated by the liberals. And if we identify with the conservative Republican ideas, we get lambasted because we're not conservative enough. We're not hateful enough against the gays or whatever that is. And I think that that is what really, like, stepping through my fear and being like, okay, well, I've got to get this bill passed because I want to help the homeless kids. And that's the other thing about tapping into your passion and tapping into your jam and figuring out what lights you on fire. Because if you can tap into that one thing, I don't care if it's the environment or housing or homelessness or food or being pro-choice or anti-choice, like whatever your thing is, I don't care what your thing is. I want you so tapped into it that you know what lights you on fire so that you can advocate for that thing, because I actually think it's going to bring us more towards the middle and it will take people out of these extreme spaces and bring them into the space where they are acting from intention and love, because you can't not when you're in your sweet spot. When you're in that place where you know without a shadow of a doubt that that thing that lights you on fire is the thing you're going to talk about all the time, then, and that's what I do. That's what I help people do, is figure out what that thing is so they can go out and do that thing. Because when you do it, that's when people come around you from both sides of the aisle. It doesn't matter because you're so lit up and tapped in and turned on and all the things are just moving and flowing that you're like, hell yeah. That's the person I want to be around. That person who's so excited and not being divisive. I'm not talking that excited, divisive way. I'm talking the person who's willing to be imperfect in their activism, who's willing to be vulnerable in their activism, who's willing to say, this is who I am and this is what I believe in with the very core of my soul and my heart, because this is what I want to do in the world. And that's a very different space than, you know, all the gays should be banished. That's not the space I'm talking about. That's not passion. That's not speaking from a space of love and intention and and grace. That is mean.
Yeah, be for something. Like yes. That's always like my rule is when I start to stray into harping on what I'm against as opposed to trying to come from a place of what I'm for.
And yes, there's a bumper sticker.
Right. Just be for something because it's hard to be for things that are terrible. You know, it's harder anyway. Yeah. You know, I think if you can come from a place of what you're for, you're also less likely to make people defensive, you know, because like you said, you're vibrating in a high energy and a positive energy. And I've met people before who were like at authors conferences and stuff who write about really conservative Christian concepts. I mean, I live in the Bible Belt, so if I go meet other authors, there's a really good chance that there's a minister in there somewhere who's written a book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And one of the coolest women that I've met at one of those spaces is completely different mindset for me spiritually, but she desperately wanted to have lunch with me because she liked my energy. And I was like, of course you do, because she was so lit up about what she loved and what she cared about. And it was like we recognized each other's light. You know what
yes,
I mean?
It
wasn't about the filter that we had on it or what the container was or anything like that. It was just the light itself that drew us and made us say, like, we need to have lunch because we're having too much fun talking. And
right.
When I have those experiences, I'm like, why can't this be what, you know, it always feels like?
Well, but it can be because I feel like, you know, we forget that people are equally as passionate as we are about certain things. So the reason Gail and I work so well together is not because we had one damn thing in common. It's that exact thing. The passion in me recognized the passion in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, you and I aren't going to get along like on a policy level, but as human beings, we can get along just fine. Thank you. And that's what we're forgetting in this whole thing. I don't have to agree with your policy or your politics, but I am deeply driven to respect people's difference because I don't want everyone to be just like me. I don't want to be trapped in my own echo chamber. God, it gets a little bit loony in there sometimes. Like I'm like repetitive.
You don't want everybody rocking your look.
No, listen, I am an individual, damn it. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, this diversity of thought is what makes this so fucking awesome.
Yeah. All diverse systems are more healthy.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I want you to tell me about something. So you have this program called Candidate Secret Weapon Program. And that sounds pretty badass, but just tell me what exactly is that all about?
I'm so excited you asked me about this. So the Candidate Secret Weapon, my friend Melanie Childers, she and I met randomly through some groups online somewhere. And Melanie lives in Georgia, and she and I connected, and we were like, what are women missing? So we have all these women running for office in record numbers across the country. What they're all getting trained by these great organizations like Emerge and all these fantastic organizations. But what Melanie and I have known from these, you know, from the years and years that we've been working together or working in politics is that in coming together, what Melanie and I really recognize is we're training all these women to run, but then, and they've got this campaign staff and they're super awesome, but then the criticism comes in, the personal attacks comes in, the things we see when women run for office where they get criticized for who they are and they just get annihilated in the press. They get annihilated by the voter. They get this sort of the patriarchy comes out and the sexism comes out and the crap comes out. And then you've got women who worry about getting up to speak to their voters. They worry about making a mistake doing an interview with the press. they start to worry. And so their mindset and their energy gets off. Because women are running in a system that was created for white straight men to win. So now you have all these women and women of color who are running, who are like running in this system that's meant to keep the power in its place. And so the candidate's secret weapon is all about shifting the mindset and the energy and the intuition so that women are running as women. And so they are coming from this space of badass connection to their passion and their jam so that their platform and their story fully resonates with people so that they can manage their fears around fundraising and asking for money, because it's really hard for women to do that for some weird reason. I haven't figured that out because I love asking for money. It's like my favorite thing on earth. And managing their inner critic and like dealing with all of the voices that come up when just in general, as women, we deal with this shit coming into us, and we have to manage these critics that say, you're not capable of doing this. You're not going to win. You're not going to be able to make this happen. We create sort of this confidence framework for women to be able to, that's the secret weapon. The secret weapon is, there's a woman who's running for office somewhere in middle America. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but she was being told by her campaign staff not to bring her kids with her on the campaign trail. And she's like, I'm out of dissonance with this because I'm a mom and I'm proud of my family. And I was like, girl, take your kids out.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Be in integrity with who you are. And that's what the secret weapon's all about. It teaches women who are running for office how to stay in their power and communicate with confidence and do all of these things that are intentional and vibrational to help them stay in that space of power, of their own spiritual power and their own intentional power and their own confidence so that they can win.
So what's the response been like? I mean, was it you that said you were like paying your teenagers to like track down their contact information and make a list for you?
Yes, that was me. I was like, listen, girls, I got a job for you.
So
there's a lot of women running for office, right? And so I'm like, I don't have time to do that, but I have teenagers who are doing nothing right now, so I'll pay them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, because they're in between work right now. It's my daughter and her best friend. So we have about 10 women right now who are going through the program that we're waiting for their feedback right now. And I'm really excited to hear about it. I'm just sitting back here waiting. I kind of feel like I'm like having this pregnant pause where I'm like, oh my God, when's it coming? I'm just waiting.
So this is a new,
brand new.
Yeah.
Like this is the first time I've ever actually talked about it.
In the media.
So, in the media. And so it's kind of exciting. But we set it up when we first envisioned it. It was this sort of one-on-one coaching program because Melanie and I are both life coaches. And so it was this sort of one-on-one coaching thing. And I was like, that's not big enough. It's got to be bigger. And so it is all online. So all of Melanie and I did videos and then we have workbooks. So it's me and Melanie riffing off of all this stuff. We've got 6 videos that are about an hour long, a little less than an hour long a piece, and then workbooks that go with them. And I don't know what the response is because we just barely launched it this week.
I just had this flash of like what it could grow into. And I was picturing you with your army, and that your army was actually women who would go and take that training and that message and go and like be on these campaign teams. Like you could just send all these people from the mothership to go to Georgia, to go to Iowa, to go to all these places and like be that voice of what you're talking about in that person's environment, right? Like that would be really cool.
That would be really cool. Melanie and I are going to be, we've connected with, we're going to be at Netroots Nation. Probably we will have been doing that right when this airs or right after this airs. And then, so I'm excited about that because we'll be talking to all these activists about the secret weapon, the activist secret weapon, using the same kind of concept. So you are absolutely right in that vision, Slade, because I can see it now.
So someone who, this is really kind of cool, actually, because when we think about that person who is this spiritually minded woman who's like, I don't want to plug into the toxicity of the, you know, network news broadcasts, but I want to do something. Maybe there's something is being part of your organization, you know, like going out and representing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely, absolutely, absolutely true, is that connecting with the work that I'm doing so that you are tapped into your passion and your jam and the thing that's lighting you up, that's exactly what I want to create in the world, is people who are so tied into how they want to be. And it is these spiritual women who are like, I just don't want to sit down and be quiet anymore. I'm done being quiet. Mm-hmm. I can't sit here while this is happening, but I don't know what to do. Mm. That is what I give to women. And that is what I do.
Well, I was going to ask you about your legacy and you already told me, so that was going to be the next question. That sounds like a good enough answer to my question that you psychically heard. You know, when you go to your website, you have a free download that's called 5 Can't Miss Steps to Finding Your Voice. How does that feed into your message and what you're talking about here? Is that an extension of this or a tool that people can access like right now that will give them a piece of what you do?
It is indeed a tool. And so, I was so, driven to figure out how to help people immediately, figure out their passion. And so when I came up with the 5 Can't Miss Steps, this is sort of based on all of my work that I learned, you know, 15 years ago, doing my work at the Utah State Capitol. So it's all about tapping into your why and really being clear on why you want to do the things you're doing. And again, it goes all back to your passion and your jam, like how to actually, tools to actually find your jam, which is not just the thing that makes you excited, but also your favorite song and how your favorite song makes you feel. So there, you know, there's that music that we hear that makes us and I can't dance. Let's just talk about white girl can't dance. Like I have no rhythm at all. But man, when I hear like One Girl Revolution is one of my favorite songs, or even, you know, or Pink or Ani, or even Carmina Burana is my most favorite symphony. When I hear that, I move. My body cannot sit still. And that's your jam. And so one of the things I'm really trying to help people do is figure that out so that they can just put that song on all the time and be in their jam so that they vibrate at a different space so that they can go out and do the thing.
Oh, so it helps you figure out your theme song?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It helps you figure out your theme song. And so it reminds you when you're listening to that song, now go take action. Like, go do something. Send an email to an elected official. Send a thank you note. One of the things I talk about in my freebie is saying thank you and being grateful and putting your gratefuls out into the world. Mm-hmm. And saying thank you to someone who's actually making a big, huge difference. So I am a big fan of the handwritten thank you note because that's how I was raised. And I will write random thank you notes to, like Brene Brown and really, you know, and Hillary Clinton and the people that I love, like the people that inspire me. And I will write handwritten thank you notes to people like my county council people or my city council people or the guy running. We have a huge homeless problem here in Corvallis. And so the guy who's running HOAC, like I was like, that guy needs a thank you note. He's getting lambasted right now. Like people who I see in the community who are like taking the shit, but doing the good work, like I'll send them thank you notes and say, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Wow. I mean, like, yeah, connecting to our community. And so that's what I teach. And I give people in that 5 Can't Miss Steps to Finding Your Voice. I also give people permission to be imperfect, because I think that's the other neat thing we're really, really, really wanting right now is how can I be imperfect when I'm terrified of being imperfect? Because I've been told my whole life I have to do it perfect. I have to do it right. And I'm like, no, fuck that. Be imperfect. I'm not perfect, but I am not going to shut up for nothing. And you can't make me.
Missy, oh my gosh, I want to talk to you like about a million things, and we probably will after we stop recording. Sorry, people who are listening who want to hear all that. So we make sure and let everyone know where they can go to find you online. Tell us where we can find you.
Well, in ever-loving Bird Girl fashion, I am my own industry. And so you can find me at birdgirlindustries.com on the interwebs. And I am also on Patreon, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at birdgirl1001. And because I'm a Libra, so I have to talk about my birthday and all the things. you'll never, maybe I'll get, maybe I'll get birthday cards for my birthday on 10-1. And so I am on all of those things, and I absolutely love engaging with people. It just makes me so happy. I had a woman the other night who was just, asking for how to like, just stop the chaos and move forward. And I was like, just breathe. And she's like, she sent me a message 2 days later and she was like, that's like revelatory. That's like revolutionary. And so, you know, even if you're not involved in one of my programs, even though I hope everybody gets involved in one of my programs. I also have a Marginalized No More training online that's super easy to do. That's got a couple of things that launches off of that freebie. So there's another thing online that's super fun that people can tap into.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I love connecting with people and giving them little nuggets of joy to just go off into the world and take with them. So I'm all about creating that army.
Well, and I want to say to anyone who wants to follow you on Facebook, you are a really fun person to have in your Facebook friends because you are super enthusiastic. You like the hell out of stuff. Your comments are, you know, always you're a cheerleader, you know, for all your friends. And I can see that, you know, I like to call myself a professional enabler. I am reclaiming the concept of enabling because it's become such a dirty word. But I find that so much of what I do is about hearing someone's dream and then thinking, oh my God, yes, that's an amazing idea. Let me convince you that you can do it. You know what I mean?
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, and you're a kindred spirit in that way, and your presence is that really comes through in your online presence. So I want to tell everyone, don't be shy to be friends with you online because you're super fun and excited friend to have.
thank you, and I swear all the time, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, yeah. If you like the swearing, that's always available.
Irreverent.
Yeah, of course you are. Why would you be on my show if you weren't, you know?
Listen, that is for goddamn sure.
Missy, thank you so much for letting me capture this conversation with you. It's super timely, and I'm sure that we will find many, many more things to talk about in the future. But for now, I just want to say thank you.
Slade, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so stupid happy about it. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or concern you may have, so take a few moments to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. Let the world show you its intentions first, before you act. Assume a pose of receptivity. There's a piece of important information that hasn't quite revealed itself yet. Continue to grow your power by continuing to accumulate knowledge for just a little bit longer. And I'll talk to you later.